Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I get to tell you all about it. It's all in the family for the Brunos down at Bruno's Little Italy, and they are everywhere. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon. I'm Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. Bruno's Little Italy means great Italian food, and it all started long ago with Jimmy Bruno. He actually started in New York, and then he went to Chicago, and since then, since way back, he landed in Little Rock around 1948 and opened a Bruno's Little Italy in Levy, right here in central Arkansas. He had help with his whole family, his boys especially, Gio, Jay, and Vince, and they grew up throwing pizzas, cooking in the business. They did it all. Well, I know Gio kind of wandered off and went into corporate world, and we talk a little bit about that, but they really stayed with their dad and worked Bruno's Little Italy. And so they opened one downtown. I got to interview them just recently, had a great interview with them, and I learned that this one's out front waiting tables, and this one's behind the bar, and this one's the head chef. And so it kept growing and growing, and everybody is, I felt like they were related to everybody there, and I think they feel that way, even if they're really not blood related. I met a great guy named Harold, who has been doing pasta with Mr. Jimmy forever, and Mr. Jimmy's now gone, so he's been doing it the longest. And Dominique, who is Gio's son, is their head chef. So during my interview, I got to talk to Dominique in the kitchen and Harold in the kitchen and Harold's son, Sean, who also has been adopted by the Brunos. So it's all in the family. So let's go down to Bruno's Little Italy.
No, they were born here. Dad was born in Harlem and raised in the Bronx.
Wow.
And so my grandfather came over. There were 16 kids. Of those, four came over, one went back.
That's a big family.
Yeah. They ran out of family names, and they named the last two Atlantico and Pacifico after the oceans. Because they ran out of names.
Yeah, and their last name was Bruno.
Yes. And their parents were, my great-grandfather was Stanislaus, and his wife was Anna Oriente, which means she may have had some Oriental background.
Now that's interesting.
Because of the Marco Polo thing,
yeah.
You know.
You've got. Have you done all this research?
Or it's you been just, brought it just, to me a lot of times, yeah. But yes, I've probably done more family research than anybody else in the family.
I'm impressed. Okay. Now, do you all make your own bread?
No.
That's the only thing we don't make.
That's the only thing we don't make, and we went and we tried every bread around, and we love this bread. It's by Winner Bakery, W-E-N-N-E-R, in New York.
And you haven't flown in.
Yeah, and it is amazingly good. I used to be the bread maker when we did make bread when we were back on Old Forge off Rodney Parham.
Well, you know, it takes and, a lot of space.
It does.
You have
and
to be
time.
Committed.
But my bread was not this good.
Wow.
And I made my dad's bread. I think there's a certain rusticness to this bread and the way that they prepare the flour for it that we couldn't match in this climate.
It's definitely the best frozen bread I've ever seen before.
And it's Italian.
Yes. Yeah.
So these have all opened up. Look at that. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
so you got clams opening up.
So I'm just going to let this liquid reduce a little bit, make sure all the alcohol and the wininess kind of cooks out.
Yeah.
I'll hit it with some fresh parsley.
And a little butter.
And a little butter.
Now, do you use mostly clarified butter, or are you using that for something specific?
We use a lot of clarified butter. For this preparation, though, you want to use whole butter. You want it.
You want that milk.
You want it. Well, you want the sauce to be emulsified.
Yeah. So, I was asking Dominic about the design of your kitchen, and you all took this from an empty space.
Absolutely empty space, and we redrew this kitchen a million times because it's so small. You know, there's apartments behind us, above us, there's halls on the side. There's no room for expansion. So we had this space to use.
Well, you know what I'm impressed by? Your kitchen's as big as your dining room.
Just about, yeah.
We still need more space.
I was shocked at how, because when I first came here, I thought, oh, wow, I thought it was going to be bigger, but it's very intimate.
Yes.
It is a very intimate space. And I'm shocked at how big your kitchen is.
It doesn't
feel big to Dominic, but it does. It's
when you're
big,
trying to do prep all day, then into it going into service, there's no room for anybody to walk.
Yeah, and you've got it all packed in here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very impressive, actually. And so wasn't it nice to work with a brand new space, too?
Oh, yeah, and we discovered things that we never knew existed, like show her, you've already opened these drawers, but this is a drawer box rather than a door box, so the door never gets in his way. Because it's drawers that pull out.
Pull straight out.
And I'd never seen this until we did this.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't it nice?
A drawered refrigerator. Yeah.
It's nice.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm also impressed that you do all this with only 8 cooktops.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's sauces.
We get a lot of questions on why we don't offer a gluten-free pasta. And that is why. Because we don't have a big enough cook stove to do a dedicated pot, because you have to use a dedicated pot for gluten-free pasta.
They could do a sauce on something different.
Oh, yes. We offer a lot of gluten-free options.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Chicken cacciatore next to a salad instead of pasta.
Right.
We just don't use any gluten-free pastas. Also, I haven't found one that I've tried a bunch of them.
I know,
that
I haven't
don't
either.
Quite live up to being under our sauce.
Well, because you're making your own pasta. So now we're adding butter. I've got to watch this because it's my favorite ingredient.
So you kill the heat. Mount it with butter and kill the heat so that the butter doesn't break, and it's gonna emulsify into the wine, and it'll be homogeneous. Make sure you won't have a separation of the oil and the wine. It'll all be kind of creamy.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and gosh, it's once again, it smells like heaven.
Do you like seafood?
What is that?
Do you like seafood?
I love seafood.
Well,
and I especially love clams and mussels. Anything that opens like that, I really love. And you know, this is the season for this, so that's kind of nice too.
Absolutely.
Wow.
These Italian hot peppers that we use.
They're fabulous. I just tried this relish.
They are, to me, they're not as hot. They're not the hottest pepper in the world.
Oh,
they are the best tasting pepper in the world.
I think so too.
Oh, and anything you put them in, they taste great in.
Well, and I'm really impressed that you're using it in the sauce, and they ship it in from Chicago.
Right.
Love it.
This is Chicago Italian style hot jardiniera, which just means hot garden vegetables. But it's mostly peppers with little bits of carrot and cauliflower.
So all that's going to go in a nice little Italian pasta bowl.
Right.
And you're going to serve it with bread and yum.
Yeah, he toasts the garlic bread to garnish. So that you can... Actually, this is a sopping dish. What you want to do is take the garlic bread and sop everything that's in there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And our house-cured pancetta that they do...
Awesome.
...is in there. It's great.
Well, this is, I think, just what you were talking about, how simple it is. You're not mixing onion with this. It's got just like a nice garlic.
Yes.
Beautiful garlic flavor. It's got so here we go. Okay, so we're going to just prop that up right there.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I'm going to get her a fork.
Sure.
But you're right, sopping is so much better. Than oh, gosh, yeah.
It's got some kick to it.
Oh. Help yourself. It's good.
He's allergic to shellfish.
I am so sorry about that.
It looks good, but it's not worth it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Help yourself. Have some. I'll share.
I'm not going to say no to this because I love this.
It is really amazing. And you know what I love about this dish? I think this dish is so family forward because this is the one you put on the table and you're like, give me a piece of bread. And everybody's sharing
this. Yeah, it's nice to be shared. Absolutely.
And so this is actually, I had this last time I was here, it was sensational.
Oh, you had it? Okay.
Well. Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't refuse it when I made it. Oh, so good. Mm. Awesome. You know what, the wine flavor in that is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Along with that, the relish that he put in it is so good.
And the particular clams that he gets are so perfect for this because they're just the perfect pop in your mouth size.
They are perfect. My family, we're big sharers.
Yeah.
So,
see, I like home style. That's I like home style preparation.
Really good. really good.
Our antipasto is done that way so that a table can all
Well, and the other thing about this is everything, you can taste every ingredient. I can taste the carrots, I can taste the peppers, I can taste the garlic, I can taste the wine, you know. So it's that kind of dish where you're like, oh, there it is. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of my style of cooking. I like to, you know, speak to every ingredient. I want every ingredient to sing. I don't want there to be any muddling, like any unnecessary component to a dish. It all needs to be composed.
He won't garnish with anything that doesn't have a flavor of the dish in it.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Nothing is just there for looks.
Right. So if you're not going to put parsley on a dish, it doesn't have parsley in it.
Right.
That makes total sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
So now tell me, how are you cooking pretty seasonally though?
Yeah, we are actually working with some local farms right now. I'm going to be rolling out the summer menu this week, actually. This weekend I'm going to be putting two new salads on the menu, and then next week we'll have a new entree special for the summer.
Yeah, Dominic has his, as many specials on top of my dad's menu that he wants to run, he can run. And they can change all the time.
Well, and I love that, because we came in here and your dad said, try the special. I can't remember what it was. It was some special, and you said, have the special. You have to have the special. And we did, and it was sensational. So, I mean, how many of those end up back on the menu?
Generally, the specials, I rotate them off. If there's a high demand for it, and it's ingredients we keep around,
right,
we'll load it on the menu. Our menu is quite large, as it is. I'm sure you've noticed. So just adding to it willy-nilly isn't really advisable. I feel like the larger your menu is, the harder it becomes to make sure everything is good. So, I mean, honestly, it's definitely better to keep it concise so you can make sure everything is quality.
Well, and I think that goes back to your history, too, because it's very nostalgic. People come here because they're going to eat the dish they ate as a family. I mean, that they're eating those memories that they have of it.
Right. And, like, for instance, Dominic and his crew devise all of our soups of the day. And those soups of the day are, in a sense, specials. Right. But if they've had a very hard prep day, we just don't have a soup of the day that night. We don't throw out something simple.
Right, right.
We do. He does it right, or he doesn't do it at all.
Do you have a staple soup?
Our backup soup of the day, if we have time to prep it, is pasta fazool.
We always have minestrone. Minestrone's
always
on there.
It's always there. And that's vegan and gluten-free.
Ah. And... Very, I mean, when I think of Italian food, I think of minestrone soup, I think of fazool, I think of seafood done on pasta, clam sauce on pasta, you know, spaghetti sauce,
yes,
meatballs, those are the kinds of things I think of. But you're also, I can see over here, you're making your own sausage.
Yes, yeah, all the meatballs and sausage are made. I mean, essentially everything on the menu is made from scratch except from the bread. I mean, that was kind of my goal moving back, was to make sure that everything...
Yes.
But yeah, that was kind of my goal, was to make sure everything was made in-house. And a lot of it already was, but...
That's impressive. Because, I mean, you're doing things that are not easy. Sausage is not easy. Meatballs are not always easy. You know?
Right.
Pasta, making your own pasta is not always easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially when it doesn't come out quite right because the weather changed that day and you have to do it twice.
Right.
Yeah.
So, now, you're making your own pasta. Is it drying and then you're... using a dryer?
Well,
is it?
So all the fresh pastas are the filled pastas. Raviolis, manicottis, lasagna, those are the fresh pastas. Right. Now the tossed pastas, like the spaghetti and fettuccine, we get those dried.
Okay.
Bringing in.
Yeah.
That would be an unbelievable amount of work.
That's
to make all of that
and
from
and
scratch.
It doesn't taste any better if you ask me. If you make a homemade pasta that like spaghetti, make your own spaghetti.
Yeah.
There's a doughiness to it that the dries don't have. My dad always used the dry for the strand pastas, as
right,
I call them.
Right. It makes sense.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten in the grocery store the ones that are cut but have never been dried in the refrigerator case?
Right.
To me, those always taste too doughy.
You like the ones
dumpling-y.
Right. They are, and they're much. I think that kind of a dough is much more suited to lasagna. Something that's
going
to stay moist and be
baked.
Your fettuccines, your raviolis, and your whatever you're stuffing.
Right. And unless we would dry those strand pastas, you could never get them al dente. Because by being dried and then reconstituting is what gives you al dente.
Right.
To the, you know, it bite, the bite is correct because we do it that way.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think people, my first memory of Bruno's was up on Roosevelt.
Yes.
And, I mean, I remember it felt like a destination restaurant. It was the anniversary restaurant. It was the birthday restaurant. It was the...
And we're hoping that this becomes that again.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's totally that.
I think it accomplished that, yes.
And you're not open for lunch.
Because he starts prep at 8:30 in the morning to be able to open at 5.
Right.
That's the big problem with lunch.
That is hard.
However, I am investigating, I'm a little further than investigating, opening up a deli next door to just serve sandwiches, deli meats, and individual pizzas and salad and soup for
as
the lunch crowd.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be the lunch place, and this would be the dinner place.
Well, the other thing I think that you all have hit on, which is so amazing, is being downtown.
Yes.
What was your decision about coming downtown?
I love downtown. I've always loved downtown. It was never hard to sell me. Vince, who's been in West Little Rock since birth, was very hard to talk into doing this. But, you know, I always looked at it as we're a half a block off the perceived River Market area.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, the parking deck that is at 2nd and Main, between 2nd and 3rd on Main, that parking deck is considered the edge of the River Market area. So we're a half a block past that. I thought it was the logical extension, and it has paid off big time to take that risk, and I say risk in quotes.
Well, and I would say the same thing, because if you look down the street, all the new stuff that's coming up downtown on Main Street is shocking to me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. I dropped everybody.
There's an obvious edit.
No, it's shocking to me. Really. I was shocked at all the new stuff.
And the stuff that's proposed that's going to be happening. I had it confirmed to me last night that there's going to be a restaurant on the corner of our block at 4th and Main.
Wow.
Over on our side of the street.
Yay!
And they've been trying to lease that space for a while, and it confirmed last night from our landlord that that is definite.
And we won't tell who.
Actually, I don't know what kind of restaurant. I know who's the person, but I don't know what kind of restaurant they're going to put.
Oh, okay.
So I'd rather back off on that till I know for sure.
It's always a good surprise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But this person already has successful restaurants in Little Rock.
So what's the easiest thing about being a family in a restaurant?
The easiest thing is communication is pretty easy because we know what we're saying at once. The hardest thing that I said going into this is to keep my children from fighting while we're working.
Because they're all working here?
Yes. Yes.
Do they still fight like siblings?
Yes, they do.
Being a dad and a boss mixed together
still,
is very hard.
Yeah, do you all still
no,
fight?
No, we don't fight.
Do
we don't fight.
We
don't fight.
You know, his son Gianni also raised him with
here. Yeah.
Oh, so cousins too.
Yeah.
Cousins too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're all off on...
Sunday, Monday. Now, Monday is open for somebody to book a party of 35 or more with a limited menu. We will bring a crew in and do a private party on a Monday night.
But that's very specific.
That's very specific, right. But we want to let people know that the reason we took Monday nights off is for that to be available.
Okay, so we're going to go watch Harold make some pasta.
Okay, great.
Fabulous, Dominique.
Figure while he was
doing it. Okay, good. So we're watching Harold now in action in the pasta mode. Hey, Harold.
Hey, how you doing?
So tell me about your pasta.
Well, I'm like Gio when it comes to pasta. I got an attitude about it. Okay. the pasta, the lasagna, ravioli, the toasted rails, the manicottis, and the cannellonis. That's what I do.
And that, you know, that's not easy what you're doing. You're making it look really easy because it's a big sheet of dough.
Well, yeah, and you know, I get it to the right, you know, thickness, and I cut it to the, you know, right, you know, width. And then we're going to boil it, and then we're getting ready to make lasagna.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is also going to become this ball of...
Yeah, this, you know, it'll go through the machine, and, you know, we'll get it, like I say, at the
How
right...
How many times does it go through the machine?
Oh, you know... I can't tell you.
You feel it?
Yeah, I feel it. I go by feel. That's how I do it.
Okay.
Anyway.
And you're teaching Sean.
Yes, I am.
Go, Sean.
He's learning how to do this. Actually, he's the first one that I've ever taught to do this.
Really?
And so he's learning to do it.
You learned it from Jimmy Bruno.
I did. I learned from Jimmy.
This is what it'll look like when he's done.
Ah, beautiful.
Already baked. Already done.
And in the words of Jimmy, he called me a pasta expert. So that's,
did he really?
Yeah, he did. That's what I do, you know.
So you're picky about your pasta.
Well, yeah, it has to be right, you know. The dough has to be just right.
Yeah.
You know, and you cut it to the perfect, you know, width, and you just boil it, and you start layering it.
Now, are you making the same, is this the same dough that you'll use for all three, lasagna?
Yes, it's the same dough that we use for ravioli, toasted ravioli, which is a fried ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
When I've popular appetizers that we have on the menu, but it's the same dough. It's all the same dough.
And Gio was saying the weather sometimes plays a...
It does.
The humidity?
The humidity, absolutely. Okay. You know,
that why I feel the air conditioner more powerful here, right here in this section, than anywhere else?
That's what we call it.
We just got it fixed.
Yeah.
That's why. It was really hot over here.
It
feels great.
Yeah. Well, actually, like I said, it was a little... You know, you got the heat coming off the walk-in here, but now it's better.
Plus, they've got the doors propped
open right here by
the
pasta.
Which makes a difference.
Yes.
And, but, you know, in the kitchen, it's going to be hot, so.
Yeah. So you're on the edge of it, though. That makes sense, though. You're not in the middle of it. Yeah. Now, the other thing is, you make the dough. Do you assemble the lasagna?
I do. Yeah.
You do it all?
Taught Sean to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Harold had to take a trip due to a family illness to New York about a month ago.
Yeah.
And while he was gone, Sean did all his duties in his absence perfectly.
All right. Okay, you've graduated, Sean.
Yeah, he did. I was proud of him. He did a great job.
I'm proud of him, too.
Holding everything down and together while I was away. So, we know he can do it. Now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes.
All right, now, your lasagna, is it typically meat sauce? And a ricotta, and an egg, and everything that and mozzarella
and assorted meats. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so you put the meat is in the sauce or
it's in both.
The cheese.
Yeah.
It's in the cheese.
It's in the sauce and the cheese.
Yeah. Really?
Depending on the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we take all of our fancy salamis and provolone and all that, and chop it up into the mixture too.
Into the ricotta mixture or into the...
In the ricotta mixture. Yeah. The meat, the beef of the meat sauce is there for the in the sauce.
That's interesting. Now, you just told me, is that not a big secret?
I didn't really tell you much of a secret.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good.
Take a bite and go, okay, that's in there.
Yeah. And actually, it should be on the menu. I think it says assorted meats or what goes in it, you know.
Have you ever made a vegetarian lasagna or a vegetable?
Well, we make vegetable manicotti all the time. It's on the menu.
And this is the same manicotti?
Same mixture, except with, instead of meats, it's got vegetables in it. And
and a red sauce.
And a red sauce that has no meat in it.
Okay.
So it's like a vegetarian dish.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
My favorite of the dishes that I make? actually, probably a cannelloni.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of the dishes he makes, cannelloni would be my favorite because I'm a beef man. I want beef.
Yeah. Which is cannelloni. And you know, I think this is really typical of most, international food or food when you're looking at, this is a burrito, this is a taco. They all have some of the same ingredients.
Absolutely.
And same thing in Italian food. This is the cannelloni. This is the lasagna. So a cannelloni is?
That is ground beef. That's got spices, sauce, and cheese mixed with it, and then rolled up in the pasta and recooked with the sauce over it and cheese melted over the top.
So instead of being layered, it's rolled.
Correct.
Yeah. And the same thing with the when you're making the little raviolis, which is stuffed, but then it's two layers that's stuffed.
Actually, yes, it's two layers of pasta with cheese and mixes. Spices inside of the cheese mix, and we top it with another layer of pasta, and then we cut it out in the little squares for
ravioli. Now he's putting the dough in, and I've been watching him do this.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of flour.
Well, yeah, depending on the your texture of your dough.
Go over and over again until it's thin enough.
Till you get it to the right.
And I was just asking Harold, and he was like telling me it feels.
Yeah, that's how I go by. I just feel.
It's not a number, it's a feel.
That's the same way with me and the pizza. Harold and I have been doing this so long that if it's off by the slightest amount, we know it instantly.
Because of the feel.
Because of the feel.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we could do, either of us could do what we do in our sleep. Which is why sometimes I really get onto the pizza makers and have to go, no, it's this way.
Yeah, Sean, he's caught on to this pretty quick. You know, he still has to learn some more because it just, for his, you know, the stuff that I know, it takes just experience.
Right, exactly.
But I think he has the basic fundamentals down.
Okay, Sean, is that thin enough?
Yes, ma'am.
That's it?
We'll roll one more.
You're going to roll it one more time?
One more.
Okay.
One more time. So.
Wow, that has gotten, that little dough has gotten huge.
Yes. Yes.
Are you going to boil that now?
I am.
Okay, I'll watch. Okay, good. Just tell me where to go.
No problem.
Do they give you your own pot?
Yes, I have a pot on. Wait, water's on. I had it boiling water, and then I just dropped this in.
You know, and because it's got a flour on it,
yeah,
it's going to get done pretty quick, right?
It's going to cook in the water itself. The dough itself has an egg in it, and so when it hits the hot water, that it's going to automatically cook.
Okay.
So, make it cook.
Now, how much lasagna will that? Because that's one ball of dough, right?
Yeah.
Got a little oil in the water.
If I'm just going to guesstimate, that'll probably make 1.5 lasagna.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much lasagna do you go through a night?
24 orders.
24
about 24 orders.
Which is about one full pan.
Yeah.
We served 335 lasagnas last month, according to our POS system. Yes. Yes. It's our most popular dish.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Bruno's Little Italy, everything you could possibly want to find out about them, and you can do that on Facebook at Bruno's Little Italy. You can also go to my website, arkansascooks.com. Now, if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com, and I love getting email. I'm still kind of old-fashioned that way. Can you imagine email being old-fashioned? The stuff I get is always fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank the Bruno family, and listen next week for part 3. It's going to be fantastic. Thanks always to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is way too short to eat bad food. So only eat great food, and eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.